Let's get to the, and it's fitting, the injury report brought to you by Leading Edge Physio. Professional athletes use aquatic therapy, radial shockwaves, zero gravity treadmills, pneumatic recovery devices for rehab, and Leading Edge Physio offers the same for you because your life in sport is just as important. Check it out at leadingedgephysio.com. Grant Fedoruk joins us once again. And Grant, high ankle sprains. How much degree of difference can it be in severity for a high ankle sprain?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of there's many things at play here, which is why all of a sudden this is such a big deal to everybody and asking these questions, because I've talked about them before and I think people are just like, oh, that's interesting. But I think now we're all seeing what impact it can actually have on a player, like what's happening right here in Edmonton. The answer is they can vary from they're almost all severe, though. Let me start there. First degree high ankle sprain is more significant than a first degree any other ankle sprain, let me tell you right there.
So what's the high ankle sprain, is it just exactly how it explains, like it's higher up in the ankle rather than around the bone? Like, why is a high ankle sprain so much more worse than an ankle sprain?
Yeah, that's the important question. So what happens is, unfortunately, what we're talking about with a high ankle sprain is the two bones, your shin bone, which is your tibia, and the outside bone, which is your fibula. They both form your ankle. So that kind of bump on the inside of your ankle, that's the tibia. On the outside of your ankle, that's your fibula. Now, those two bones are held together by an anterior and posterior tibiofibular ligament, but also there's what we call a syndesmosis joint. The two bones are actually kind of held together as well by a membrane called the interosseous membrane. And unfortunately, when you have an injury to those ligaments and that interosseous membrane, you've got a higher degree of instability. So when we see these in clinic, they even look different. The swelling looks different. They're typically more swollen. They're typically a higher level of pain that a person has. They're also quite inflamed. They're easy to swell up with activity. There's all kinds of things that go with them. A higher degree of instability when you've got that damage to those ligaments than when you have I don't want to call it simple, but when just one ligament that holds your fibula to the talus, for instance, is damaged, there's all kinds of other things that help with stability around there. Unfortunately, when you've got an instability around that, those two bones that need to be held together and need to be very structurally sound in order for your ankle to function, you have big problems.
So, would a hyperbaric chamber help the rehab?
No. With this injury, there's no replacing time for that to form, that scar tissue to form and the stability to come back in that joint. Hyperbaric chambers, what we're talking about is increasing the amount of oxygen that the tissues can get that might speed recovery. As far as the evidence goes, it's not strong on that. So certainly when it comes to wound healing in some other areas, there is strong evidence. As far as this type of tissue healing, it's not as strong.
Okay. So what therapy will at least, I don't know, like help a little bit? Like how I know time's the ultimate best, but they don't have time. So,
right.
What can you do? And would freezing it be any benefit?
So when we're talking about this type of an injury, he's really, these athletes are limited right now by a few things. Swelling is causing pain. Instability is causing inflammation and swelling. And so that time factor is really important. What they're doing is likely doing right now is trying to keep his mobility, trying to maintain at least or limit the amount of swelling that he's getting, which can then impact how much pain he'd be getting. So he would be going through a regimen of dealing with that swelling pretty much daily. Everything from ice baths to potentially contrast baths, hot, cold, compression. He's going to be doing stuff to keep that stability so that he doesn't get inflammation. So they will be doing things like taping that joint to make sure that it's got a little less instability. There's a lot of things going on, but the timing of this isn't great. And he's having to kind of function. And I think everybody sees that. I'm actually surprised I shouldn't be, because he's such an athlete and he's so good. And him at 75% is better than most people at 100%. So, but you can certainly see it when he's skating, can't you?
Yeah, well, I found early on in the game, it definitely see. But as the game went on, so I don't know if that's adrenaline or maybe it just gets, it's numb to it, right? So you don't feel it as much, or maybe it's in your head, because I did find his, he got better as the game went on, but definitely looked tentative, rigid. It definitely seemed like it was bugging him early in the game.
Yeah, and certainly I think a little bit of everything that you just said. I think you get some adrenaline for sure, which will help with what he's dealing with. Probably some increase in circulation, obviously, as he gets moving, his body, the metabolism increases, which helps to deal with that to some extent. But you know, depending on what happens to his ankle, it can also be detrimental sometimes. Making a hard turn or a stop or something happening can actually cause it to swell up. So, you know, you kind of just you just hope for the best as he gets going in the game, that it actually gets more limber and he can move on it a little better as he starts playing. And then obviously as soon as they're done, they're trying to mitigate that swelling and inflammation as much as possible. It's conjecture, but these guys are probably doing certain things for the pain, like anti-inflammatories and such. And I don't know if they're freezing it, but this is an interesting stage of the playoffs. You know, I wouldn't put it past him to get some sort of relief that way so that he can perform.
Yeah, now the thing about freezing is you don't feel the pain as much, but obviously it doesn't make it more stable or anything. So if you freeze it, is there more risk potentially of injuring it because you're not feeling it?
There's a risk no matter what. Okay. But certainly, yes, we got to listen to our bodies. That's the pain signals are the body telling you, you know, to cut it out, sort of a thing. But again, we're talking about a certain stage in the playoffs, and there are things athletes will do. And I don't know that for sure that's what's going on. So I want your listeners to know that just because I said it so doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. The Edmonton Oilers have a professional medical staff that are dealing with this the best way possible. So I think they're very fortunate to have him out there. And whatever they're doing it right. So, because he's out there playing.
Yeah. No, I would. Well, hey, that's the thing for sure. And so we have a lot of questions, Grant. And I know, and you always say this, so I'll preface it by saying, unless you're treating the guy, you don't 100% know everything. So this is a little bit of conjecture. Yeah. But so if you rested him 2 days, would it really make that much of a difference at this stage?
Oh, I don't think so. No, I don't. Okay. Like, we're looking at this recovery from this ankle, for those listening. If you have a typical ankle sprain, and when we talk typical, there's the anterior talofibular ligament is on the outside of the ankle. That's the one that we've probably almost all done. Rolled our ankle, and then it swells up, and you're hobbled. It looks black and blue. You can show your friends the colors. You're really back in action pretty quick after an injury like that. Within 2-3 weeks, the swelling subsides, and you're able to do most things. I kind of try to get people to take a little more time than that so that they can get all of their balance back, their strength, and make sure that it's not just painless, but it's actually not going to keep injuring again. With this one, we're not looking at a 2 or 3 week window. We're looking like 2 to 3 months before that swelling and that inflammation and everything settles down, just because of the fact that you've got that instability that puts a lot of stress on the joint. It certainly isn't one that heals as well or as quickly. So a couple of days, yeah, it might help get the swelling down, but we're not talking about he's going to come back and be ready to go because he took a couple of days off.
Grant Fedora joins us from Leading Edge Physio. We're talking about high ankle sprains. We also, you know what, we saw on the Calgary side of thing, a shoulder injury, it looks like, for Shillington. Now, the shoulder is not a proper socket, Grant. So, like, let's say a guy has, like, a – I don't know, partially separated shoulder, maybe dislocated, right? That's, again, one where it's just time, right? And you can, you know, maybe you wear like a little bit of a shoulder brace perhaps, but that's another injury that there's really not much you can do to alleviate the pain and discomfort, is there?
No, two totally different problems. So a separated shoulder is that AC joint, the acromioclavicular joint, which is where your collarbone meets your scapula, basically. And you know, with that injury, a fairly mild AC separation, you know, these guys can muster through it. A dislocation, totally different. That shoulder is, that's when the ball comes out of the socket. That's when the humerus comes right out of that place it's supposed to be in. And when that happens, you've got all kinds of other problems that go with it, particularly instability. One that a dislocation early on in the first 6 weeks is a very high possibility of dislocating again, and all kinds of trauma with the ligaments and the capsule. And those ones, they're not coming back right away. In fact, those are, at this point in the game, if it's a dislocation, they're probably that's the playoffs for them. There's all kinds of things that go along with that too, spasm and pain, and so they're in a sling for some period of time. Separation, everybody wants to know, what can you play through? One of those, they might be back out there. They're going to be doing things, they're going to be in pain. But the shoulder, unfortunately, in hockey, what goes into the boards? What goes to the ice? Where does that arm need to be? I mean, it's not a great injury to have to suffer through at this stage of the game, that's for sure.
Well, Grant, I played with a guy that literally, when we played hockey, sometimes his shoulder would pop out, and you'd be on the bench, and somebody would hold his arm, and boom, it would pop back in, and then he would play like 20 minutes later. Right now, obviously, the more you do that, the more chance it can come out quickly. But for him, you know what, after the pain subsided from putting it back in, he could then go finish the game and play the next game and have no issues.
Yeah, and that's typical of somebody with something called multidirectional instability, and they've already done that many, many times. So we're not just talking about this is the first time you've dislocated your shoulder and you've got a stable joint becoming unstable. That kind of, what you're talking about is kind of the lethal weapon thing. That's somebody who's already, their shoulder ligaments are quite lax. The capsule's probably got damaged. There may be damage to the cartilage in there, what we call bank cartilage lesion, or basically a tear in that cartilage in the shoulder. Those are already unstable. Those can definitely have more instability, and those are the ones where people, it'll happen, and it's actually more painful when it's out than when it goes back in. Two totally different situations, but you're talking about a player with a healthy shoulder that dislocates it for the first time. No, it's not just to put it back in and play the next day. That would be an unusual, that would not be very usual for that to happen.
Okay. I love it, Grant. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Enjoy round two. And hey, congratulations to you and everyone with the Zero. How was the race yesterday?
Race was phenomenal. We had just an amazing turnout. The weather was as good as it can get, and our charities, the Zebra Child Protection Center, St. Albert Seniors Association, Chinook, and Caribou Child Advocacy Centers, they're all going to be the benefactors of, well, you know, close to $200,000 of donations. So thanks to the community for supporting us, and I hope next year's even bigger.
How many participants did you have?
We had just shy of 2,000 participants yesterday, and by the time the village was full with families and parents and spectators, I got to believe we had about 3,500, 3,000 people in through that village yesterday. And I'll tell you, I was up on stage with for a couple minutes, and I could just I looked out. I can't say I had a tear because I don't want all of our hockey fans out there to judge me too much, but. It was a pretty proud moment to see the community come together that way.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. Congratulations and to all the people who ran it. The kids raced to the 5K, to the 10K, to the half marathon. And do you guys do a full marathon too?
We used to.
It's just a half,
the first
right?
3 years. We're down to the half. It's a huge ordeal. It's a big undertaking. And because it's all about the charities and the community event, maybe we'll bring the full back, but right now my whole team is all shuddering that I said that. But.
Yeah, no, I get it. That's all good, man. Awesome stuff, Grant. Thanks for this.
Thanks, Jason. Go Oil.
Grant Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physio.